Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me on Labor Day is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how's your Labor Day weekend going?
Seems to be going fine. How's your Labor Day weekend going?
I woke up with a bit of a stomach ache. I'm feeling a lot better now.
We went to Salazar's last night and we had some margaritas and some Mexican food.
And I'm out on margaritas.
Yeah.
I know this now. You I didn't even finish my drink. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because I got too into the sugar rim and salt.
Salt rim?
Salt rim.
Right, right.
I'm telling you, there must have been sugar on there because I could not stop coming back.
I think there's a mixture, yeah. That one had like a lime, like it was too limey.
Whatever it was, I couldn't breathe.
No, it was too much.
yeah, but otherwise, I think I'm doing okay. Saw some friends this weekend. That was really fun to kind of see some people and stuff like that.
What did we see?
Not really anything to do. Well, we saw our guest.
Came over. Right.
We saw Pat and Jackie.
That's right.
I hurt myself Saturday.
You had a knee injury.
So I had to miss an event.
Yes.
We had to go out and get a brace, and the brace was too small and then cutting off circulation.
Is that true?
Yeah. I was already icing it, but then I had to re-ice it because of that. Mm. Like ice the rest of it to calm it down. So it was kind of a disaster.
And
Saturday was a write-off.
Surprise on me, we have a wedding to go to next week. So I had to go buy a light shirt to wear underneath my suit or whatever. Turns out I'm quite large. That was my whole beef this weekend.
Yeah, that's how it turns out, huh?
Yeah, that's how it turns out.
Wow, okay. That means you must not be feeling that good.
No, I'm not.
So what's your number? Scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about your self-esteem?
Oh, God, yeah. 3, 4?
Yeah. You know what? That's valid. Because having to go to the wedding is a high-pressure situation, and then when you can't find something to wear, then it makes you feel bad because you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? I have to go to this wedding.
No, and like...
It's high pressure.
I just kept forgetting about this wedding, and then it's like, now I have to... Labor Day weekend, I got to go get my suit cleaned and all this stuff. It's like, is it going to get back on time?
We did not think this through. And I hate weddings.
It sprung up.
I hate weddings. I always love the people getting married. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to be there. But like, I'm not good at weddings. You know, I'm not in on the cousins, maybe an aunt or uncle. I'm always at a questionable table where there's too many bits going and they're all from me.
I like eating the dinner, having a couple of drinks.
I love the dinner and drinks. And I like seeing the dresses.
Sure.
Because as we know, I love Say Yes to the Dress. Yeah. Because they always say yes, almost.
Yeah, until one time they say yes and then there's a black title card that's like, she actually didn't say yes.
They never let you
see that part.
No, they would never. You are so right.
I hate that show. That show's dumb.
Yeah. I never said it was good.
You put one on the other day that was like a 10-year anniversary.
No,
special.
No, 20-year anniversary.
20-year anniversary special. And they were like, oh my God, all the dresses we've said yes to. Like, it was just like...
And it was just a recap
of just a bunch of...
I had seen every one of those episodes. Terrible. I knew all the dresses.
Cares.
They always look the exact same. And everyone's like, it's totally unique. Nobody's going to have ever worn this. I feel like my own person.
Then there's just always like the mom or like the uncle who's there and is like, I don't like it.
Who sounds exactly like your Portuguese father. I don't like it.
There's too much of a train.
Yeah, everybody's passing out about it. Or then they have the little cards that say yes or no, and like flip them.
That must have been earlier in the season, so I didn't catch that one.
Oh, Norm, it was all over the 20-year anniversary show.
I don't know how we started talking about you say yes to the dress, because I don't like that
And thank
show.
God we did. Anyways, well, I'll tell you what, my self-esteem is soaring, because I'm in baggy overalls.
I was like, how did we get on this topic? Oh, yes, we were talking about weddings and trying things on.
Oh, yeah, and what a fucking nightmare it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Norm...
I did say to a gag to the waiter yesterday... that I was in Nordstrom's earlier, and he was like, Nordstrom's, nice. Like, it's like I was making it up, and I was like, no, actually, I have a receipt. I was at Nordstrom's earlier today.
And then we showed him.
Yeah.
Well, Norm, the wedding's going to be next Saturday, so by the time we come back on, we'll have the report about how the wedding went and what we wore. And if people play their cards right, we'll post a photo. Like, but that's threat. Only if you're playing cards and if you're doing it right.
Wait, they have to be playing cards and playing a game that you know, and they have to be following the rules.
And I don't know a lot of games.
No, you don't, actually. Yeah, didn't I have to teach you how to play Crazy Eights?
I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Crazy Eights, more like Crazy Great Game.
And who's on that note, let's get the guest. Let's get out of here. God.
Everybody, old friend that I met from back in Chicago when I lived there, my short stint, my little 3-year stint there.
And for me, someone, we follow each other on, so I feel like I know this person, but we're really going to get to know them now. And I met them in person the first time here.
Yes, but you guys knew who each other was, so that was yes. really fun to have the big in-person meeting and yeah. to know you weren't getting catfished.
Well, I just thought she was really funny at Twitter. And
now you know she's real and there could be a connection.
Right, right. You never know.
Let's find out, even though you're not on the episode. Everybody, please help me welcome my guest, Jocelyn Hughes, right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Jocelyn, welcome.
Ah!
To the self-esteem party podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All ready to go. Here we are. It's a hot day.
It's a toasty one.
We're in it. I'm thrilled that you came here because I don't know your AC situation, but I was like, I was willing to go to you and we could have done Zoom. That's never as fun.
Never as fun.
It's never as fun. And it's so, and then internet and what a to-do for everybody.
Exactly. You got it all set up. I'm coming over.
I'm so glad.
I'm getting a full tour of the house.
I was like, do you want to do, I always feel weird because the rooms are such weird colors that you can see it catching people's eyes being like, huh, I wonder what that is. So I'm always like, oh, do you want a tour to like explain the colors of the house?
Oh, I don't think you have to do that. I think you have such... You guys, she has such high ceilings. I can't even. You guys would die if you could see these ceilings.
If you guys could see the height of these ceilings, let me tell you, you won't come back.
You will not.
You will not come into this house. You guys are going to be devastated. In fact, we're going to post a photo of how high the ceilings are on the Patreon. So everybody subscribe if you want to see the ceilings.
Pay that money.
Pay that money.
I would pay money to see these ceilings. My point being, you can have color in here because there's so much light and there's so much height.
Yeah, because the windows are so tall.
Yeah.
They were impossible to cover, but they are so tall.
Okay. It's gorgeous. I'm so happy to be here.
We're off to a running start here. This is the perfect time to ask.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
In terms of your self-esteem and how you're feeling about yourself, mm-hmm. Where would you say you are?
Okay. It's been a weird few years.
Yes. I will go ahead and give the controversial agreement to that statement.
I know. Big controversy.
And well, I'm going to be the only one that agrees with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody else on the other podcast are against you.
Everybody had the total normal. But pandemic aside, I think self-esteem-wise, I have more self-esteem than ever. More self-worth. I feel better. But it's been a rocky road.
Let's just say it's been a bumpy one.
To get there.
Yeah. I'm going to say you usually can't get there unless it is.
Yeah.
Because if you come in flying high all the time and then something bad happens, it brings you down to like a 2. Because you're like, what is this foreign feeling? Whereas if you've had a couple bad things happen, you're like, I've been here and I've gotten out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, because the last time we ran into you, and listen, I don't bring up people's personal business. They can do it. But the last time I ran into you, do you remember, it was at UCP Green Room, and we were both coming in hot with drama. And we were like, what have you been up to? And we were both like, okay. Here's what's good. It was just one of those like gab sessions.
Yeah.
I think we were back there for like 40 minutes or something.
Was
do you remember
that? Lifetime taping? No, that was at a different theater.
No. Yeah. This was in the Green Room at Sunset.
Okay.
So what show would you have been doing there?
Girl.
I mean, who can remember?
I do not. I have no idea.
I just remember it was a nicer setting than, no offense to UCB Franklin, but it was a nicer setting.
Right. That's so rude.
I'm like, oh, it wasn't by the trash cans backstage.
I don't think that's rude at all. It's you're like literally, you're in sharing a hallway with a bar and a dumpster.
It's true.
So there's no like breeze or draft. No. Like it just kind of sits back there.
And there's a fun.
And comedians. So
yeah.
Can we be honest?
Comedians,
about
you already can't
comedians?
Breathe. Yeah, you already can't breathe back there.
P.U.
No, bless you guys and your sweaty jokes. We love them. Keep them coming.
I'll tell you one thing. Comics, sure, they're funny, but you want a smelly shoe?
Watch yourself.
Male comedian.
And for other reasons, avoid them.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to list them all today.
If we want to talk about why my self-esteem's gone up. Okay, am I right? High five. Here we go.
So you're feeling good, better than, or rough couple years, but now better than it was before those rough couple years?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so overall life, we're doing great. We are very happy. We're content.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you literally are glowing and you look like Baby from Dirty Dancing.
Well, thank you. I just put on some highlighter.
Oh, no, not the watermelons. Dancing on the Bridge. And the highlighter looks great.
Thank you.
I recently got into one and let's just say it's not going well. If I'm being honest, which is what this podcast is all about.
This podcast is solely about highlighting your face, not even the contouring. Just the, I don't ask know how
you're
that.
Feeling your self-esteem in terms of highlight.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm a 10 out of 10. Yeah. What can I say?
I followed one YouTube tutorial and now I'm the most confident girl
I looked
world.
At a YouTube tutorial too. It makes me laugh because it's like I made fun of that and resisted it for so long, and now I'm like, honestly, it's useful. What was I fucking thinking?
I could have looked
way better for years.
For years.
And this is me only at a basic YouTube tutorial. Yeah. Imagine if I really did a deep dive.
And we studied it and practiced.
We could look next level as if we have a glow light on us.
Well, we'd be supermodels. I think that's obvious.
We wouldn't have time for this podcast. That's a fact.
Yeah, we'd be walking runways.
Yeah, and like trying to maybe record the audio. Everyone's like, all we're hearing is the click clack of heels. And I'm like, it's still one of my better episodes. So can I ask, what would you say is the biggest difference of knowing that you feel better about yourself now?
I would say I had a realization a few years ago. So I've been, I've been working on this. I've been doing breath work, okay?
Oh,
I've been doing therapy.
Yes,
I will
we
meditate.
Love it.
I do all the stuff. If you tell me something's going to make me feel better, I'll eat it. I will go to a class. I will do the workshop. I just do it.
Okay, that's rare.
I've pulled back a bit because it's been, how much can you do, really?
And things also, the pandemic threw a real wrench in a lot of different things would do for self-care. Like, for example, get a massage. Like, stuff like that.
Totally.
You're like, oh, yeah, I stopped doing, or panicker. Manicure or pedicure, little things like that. There you go. Yeah.
Never again, guys. I got bare ass nails.
I
not
all
a drop
off.
Of paint.
Not, but a drop
I won't
drop
do it ever
inside.
Again. I'm not doing it. Toes.
Yeah.
My toes
I've
are
gone
wild.
Free. I've gone rogue.
Yeah, me too.
What do I care? Try to stop me.
Guess what? It doesn't define my femininity anymore. Okay.
Can everybody actually step off for 1 second, please?
Please.
You guys have been on us since we started.
Seriously.
The live studio audience needs to calm the fuck down.
They're actually revolting right now.
Could you imagine in the studio, which, by the way, everybody, I did post a photo of the studio on the Patreon, so you should go check it out. It is public. Anyone can see.
Cha-ching.
We wanted people to know where the magic happens.
They should.
In like a childlike blue room.
With high ceilings.
Well, guys, we might put some monkey bars up there. Like, the possibilities are endless in this childlike room. A swing.
Sex swings.
Sex swings. I meant regular, but yeah, sex swings too. Why not? That actually makes a lot more sense as we don't have children. I don't know why.
Dual purpose. Swing on it and have sex and swing on it.
And it's got to be one of those things that it's got to be exercise, maybe having to hold up upper body weight or something like that, depending on what ring you're on.
You can invite Pink over. And she can do her concert where she floats in the air and does the air. What are those? What are they called? Air yoga.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they call it. Air yoga, arabesin, or no. That's like a twist or something.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to pretend I can guess.
No,
this, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, all right. So we're feeling good. Question for you.
Yes.
When it was the dark time, were you in therapy?
Okay. I would say, the darks come on and off.
Okay.
I think I had a crazy relationship happen almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
I was going to get married. I had to cancel a wedding. It was that was the first big one.
That's a big one.
Ran to therapy. Had never been to therapy before.
Okay.
Found this amazing therapist who truly, she's a game changer.
Yes.
Love her dearly. I don't see her anymore. She's for years was like, okay, you've got the tools. I don't think you need to come back as much. And, you know, like, if you want to come back, just let me know. And I'd be like, no, I need to come back. Can we come back next week?
Mine did the same, where she was like, I've done all I can do. And I was like, yeah, but I still want to talk about this.
But I still have the sand.
And she's like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, she's like, enough of your fucking
So basically,
advice.
Our therapist broke up with us, and we didn't even realize it.
Yeah, she was so like, you have all the tools. Go. And I was like, but do I? I don't know if I do.
But that was a substantial relationship with the therapist.
Yes.
Like
a
lot of work.
Yeah, that started a lot. And I think, you know, different modalities work for different people.
Yeah.
Therapy was one kind of way in for me. I've also, I don't know if anyone's tried breath work. You tried breath work?
Okay, we just talked about this. And I had a doctor, oddly enough, in urgent care explain to me this, like, breath work tapping thing that, like, has I've been doing for years now since to like calm down that like some random walk-in doctor or me walking into the urgent care and he's like, oh, try this. And I was like, okay, about a completely separate subject that I just happened to bring up being like, oh yeah, I have been feeling really anxious. And he was like, try this. And it like, I've been doing it since.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Random different guy. Things work for different people.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that like I would, the first couple of times I did breath work, they were like life changing. I'd have these revelations like, oh my God, I need to do this. Or this is why I'm sad. Like one time I did this thing called the presence process with a group of people over the pandemic. So the presence process is basically like mini breath work in the morning and at night. You only do it for 15 minutes, which is significant. I mean, it can be laborious. It's like a pretty intense thing.
But 15 minutes, think about in the morning, we really dilly-dally.
Yeah.
Like, there's 15 minutes there, unless you, like, start work at 6 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
There's 15 minutes of, like, coffee time meandering.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, go
on. So, I was doing it, and during one of those sessions, I was like, oh, my God, my mom was always late to pick me up, and I just started crying, and I was like, she was always late. Like, it was this whole thing where I was like, I had this whole realization that, oh, that this was, like, hurtful to me, and I was always the last kid waiting for my mom to show up.
Me
and
too.
I have all these weird things about when people are late and how disrespectful it is. So I have all these things around time and you know.
And a bit of control.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
When it's like time related stuff, because I get really bent out of shape. My mom always was late to pick me up and would show up with a car full of grocery bags. And I was like, so you chose No Frills grocery store, which for anyone from Canada listening, shout out to No Frills. It's like the no label grocery store.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know what I mean?
Yeah,
where
yeah,
everything's
yeah.
like just their brand. It's almost like Trader Joe's.
Oh, like Aldi, which is owned by Trader Joe's. There,
yes.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is a much better example for the American example. Okay, perfect. But she would show up with a whole car full of them. And I was like, you just left me here.
Right.
And it was like the teachers were leaving being like, and like one of them was being like, I guess I have to wait for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like everybody's clearing out.
Yeah.
So wait, can I ask, why was your mom late? Mine was for sure grocery
shopping.
She's
still always late.
It's just a thing.
Yeah. It's you know, they've like studied people that are late all the time, and it's like I can't remember off the top of my head what it really boils down to, but it's something where it's like, you know, some kind of like disrespect or some kind of like anxiety or something, and I don't know.
I actually find being like, I used to be late a lot when I first moved here because it was my first time having a car. I had no concept of traffic.
Yeah.
You know, in Chicago, we took train everywhere, you walk, whatever, and like same with Toronto and everything like that, but it was like to have to drive and get stuck caused me so much anxiety and like panic attacks that I was like, why would I do this to myself when I can just leave early and arrive calm? Like, why would I? It's like you said, if someone says this can make you feel better, you will do it.
Totally.
This is how I feel about leaving early.
Yeah. No, there's
it will. It makes me feel better.
Always a win. It's always a win.
And then everybody's always happy you've shown up on time. Like, you were right on time today. And I was so happy you were right on time because it was like, I was so excited you were coming. I was ready at 11 a.m. just sitting here, cleaned the whole house before you came. I was like, well, she's going to think it's a mess. It looked the exact same, just so you know.
It was very clean
but it was,
house.
Yeah, but it was me being like, she's going to see all the dirt.
Never.
Like, panicking that you were coming over. So embarrassed. And now telling you, revealing it. Anyways.
That's vulnerability and I respect it.
And that's why you came on time.
That's why I came on time. I actually was a minute late because I had to put mascara on because I just feel so few chances these days. I
put on full makeup
top.
For you.
Yeah, you got makeup too.
I put on full makeup, yeah.
Oh
I
my
was
God,
very
we
excited.
Makeup for each other.
We did because I just wanted to seem awake and alert And if, sometimes if I don't have makeup, because of my rosacea, I can look really like as if I've been drinking for 7 hours straight, like really blotchy. And yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally. No.
So I was like, Alana, you got to be fresh face. It's only noon.
You're gorge.
Oh, I could say the same. I yelled at you already that you were glowing.
Thank you.
And it was a yell.
It was, you know, got the neighborhood's attention.
Everybody looked over and went, yeah. As a whole neighborhood, they agree.
It's a great way to start a podcast. It's called The Self-Esteem Party.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you came in so high.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we're in therapy. Let's get back to it. Because so I love a good journey of ups and downs, therapy, meds. I like to get everybody's full scope.
Okay, great. Okay. I'm an open book when it comes to this.
Yes,
so
me too.
I started therapy and, you know, I was still doing as much, I think as much stand-up as I kind of could. I've still lightly call myself a comic, even though I'm not. It's like I barely do shows. I probably do like 2 or 3 shows a year.
Okay.
I stopped asking. I'm old. I'm tired. I don't want to play the politics of like, can I do your show?
I know what you mean.
You know, there's just a certain point where you're like, they're going to, I don't know what you're getting out of it, but it's been a slow walk away from, and then, but also still hanging on to the mic. Like, oh, I'm still, they can still call me a comic. People treat you different when they know you do comedy. It's like a respect. You're relevant, you know?
It's something that a lot of people wouldn't have the guts to do even if they wanted to pursue it.
True.
It's very scary.
Yes, and we were both dove in our, what, we were babies.
Oh, my God,
in our 20s,
babies.
In Chicago.
Barely even 20s, like 21,
that's what the people,
not
the listeners
even.
Don't even know. We've known each other since, I don't know, 2003, 2004?
Yeah, because... Yeah, that's right. Because I didn't meet you right when I was there. But it was like, I was only there like 3 years and you were a little more second half when I kind of would go to more stand-up shows, because before I was only going to like the improv shows.
Right, right.
And then I kind of started doing the variety, and then you're like, oh, cool. There's like all these other people to be friends with. And yeah, we have stayed and we have like our little online exchanges. You're one of my fave people where I'm always like, ooh, love this one, or let me write back to this one. You know, you have your people where you're like, I keep an eye on. Even Norm, when you met him, he's like, we follow each other.
No,
I follow each other online.
You guys have like spaghetti fight. That was very funny.
Yeah, the spaghetti toss. Bad throw. We don't need to get into this.
That is a dark, dark.
That was, you want to talk about dark times. Whatever happened to you, no thanks, in comparison to what happened to me.
Well, we won't make you relive that.
Thank you.
I wouldn't do that to you.
No, you don't want to do that. But you started some self-help.
Doing that stuff.
Yes.
I was still kind of doing, you know, and this career is just like, take your self-esteem and take a big poop on it, because it is constant rejection, constant comparison.
If you can even find it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, long story long, I would say almost 4 years ago, I stopped drinking. Well, I took a break from drinking.
Okay.
Because I felt like a raisin. I just felt like it was drying me up and I didn't feel good. And so I took a break and I went like a month and I was like, oh, I'm going to go home for Christmas. I'm going to see if I can keep doing this. And I kept doing it. And then I found out I had this like stomach thing that was,
oh no.
Yeah. Only exacerbated by drinking. So I fixed the stomach issue and then I kept going and I was like, wow, I've never really had to sit with myself or be myself like fully, I guess, you know, like vulnerable. And It's hard to tell people you don't drink anymore because they think like, what happened? You killed a family of five with your...
Yours sounds pretty low pressure, though.
It's been very low key.
It doesn't sound like there was a revelation. You're like, I've changed.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You sound really gradual.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. So like taking a step away from that and being like, what was that playing? And then just having people treat me differently who I might have like gone out just for drinks before with, that kind of changed.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, and I keep saying this to people, this is so corny, but I think basically what happened is in my early 20s, I had graduated college. I didn't know what I was going to do for a living. I got a degree in music business. I wanted to work in the music
really?
Business.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a real degree because it's from an art school. So it wasn't
real.
Yeah,
but but you studied it.
I did.
You had
the
information. Yeah, yeah.
I had an internship. But when I graduated, there was no jobs and everything was getting condensed. You know, it was like, you know, there was like 5 major music companies and then there was 3. And I don't know how there anymore, if there's any.
It's mine. It's the self-esteem party album.
That's how you got these high ceilings.
That's how I got that. I paid to just raise all the ceilings.
Amazing. You people wouldn't even comprehend how expensive raising ceilings are.
Thank you. Music biz, yeah.
Music biz. So I didn't get a job. So I basically put on this suit because comedy is your social life. It's your work life.
It's your everything. Oh my God. It's your self-esteem, your self-worth. It's your dating.
Identity.
It's everything.
It's everything. And I realized I put this comedy suit on. And I never figured out who the fuck I was. And I know that sounds so, I sound like a,
no, like I love a caricature this.
Of a self-help person right now, but I never took off the suit. And I realized a couple years ago, like, well, who am I if I don't have comedy and I don't keep holding onto this tether and pretending like I'm the stand-up when I'm letting myself down by like pretending I'm still, if that makes sense. Like I feel like I was holding on to the identity, but not executing, especially how I used to. I mean, I used to go up every single night.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For years.
I mean, it's hard because it's like if you do feel like you're wearing a suit as you describe, which I love, by the way. But I love that because yeah. You're trapped. Yeah. Like you have a suit on, you're like you're stuck in your suit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it can feel very suffocating, like it's done up too tight or something. Very, very suffocating.
Totally.
And not knowing yourself. But it's like, if that's how you're feeling, of course you're not going to be slogging away at shows. Of course you're not going to want to ask to be on shows, which I've had to do a few times now in preparation for, like, say, a bigger set or something yeah. where you're like, God, I got to test this out because we haven't done shows in so long. But it's like, some of it is mortifying.
Yeah.
Like, just, and then people, if they're saying no, especially, you're like, are you kidding? Like, I don't even want to do your fucking show. Yeah. Are you out of your mind right now?
Uh-huh.
It's making me question definitely a lot of things where I'm going, okay, how important is this?
Well, yeah.
I'm having fun, but how important is this?
It's, I don't know if you've seen Sarah Schaefer's, her commentary on Twitter is.
Oh yeah, yes.
So she has a show right now that's like a solo show about the comedy business.
Right.
And it's. Everybody needs to go see it. I think it's called Going Up. But she basically is like, you don't even have to be funny to make it in the business. You just have to play the game is basically the overall.
This is the truth, though.
Yeah, and I played the game for so long. But when you play that game, you step on your own self-esteem and your self-worth because you're just so desperately trying to be liked by everybody.
Oh, my God.
And it's not that I didn't genuinely love hanging out and being. I mean, comedy is so fun. I've had such a fun life, and I'm so lucky to have this fun, fun life.
I'm so glad you can still feel that joy. Because
it's absolutely the best.
Because no need to forget how fun. We stuck around for a couple reasons.
Exactly. And you know what I mean? Yeah. I think now I'm finally to a place where I'm like, I want to get back to why I started in the first place.
Okay, yeah.
But on a whole different level because I never had any self-confidence doing it.
Yeah.
I never thought I deserved to be on stage. Like, I never thought I deserved to be touring or to have a special on Comedy Central. So,
yeah, I disagree with that. I understand you feeling that. From the outside looking in, you're very good. So.
Thanks.
But you can, of course, you're going to think different and that. You 100% have the right to do that. Yeah. I do it. We all do it. So
I was just watching old videos from, I think they're like 2013, 2014, like that era. And I really had a great 5-10 minutes or whatever it was. I was like, oh, this is funny. But yes. I had, in my head, made it so bad and made myself so bad.
Torturous.
But I think it's just, yeah, I think it's just part of it's the business and like trying to keep your head up.
Yeah.
I truly think you have to be delusional to be extremely successful.
I think you have to have delusions of grandiose.
Yes.
You have to see it and believe
sometimes
it.
That doesn't always mean, I mean, it can definitely equate to being a bad person for a lot of people.
I mean, just so many people.
Because they just don't care who's in their way.
They just
way.
Don't care. I've been the victim of that. We all have somebody's like, you're like, I can't believe you actually would do this. And they don't even think twice. And you're
do
like, wow, that is not in me.
Yeah. It's not, and I never had that either. I just never had the confidence.
Yeah.
I never had that. Yeah, I really didn't. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been writing for, you know, a lot of unscripted stuff for the last basically 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of scripted things, but it's mostly been like award shows and talk shows. And like, and it's a very specific random thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to not do that, but I do think even working in production in this business can be draining.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to have any boundaries. So like, let's say you tape all day. I worked on a show last spring. We went to Nashville and it's going to be a very fun show, but the tape days were 9 a.m. and they'd go to 1 a.m. or
oh longer. My God.
Yeah. And that's just, that's part of it. And you're just kind of like,
is this non-union?
Yeah, it was a non-union.
Okay. Yeah. I had to ask.
Yeah, because
I was like, oh, you'd make sick money otherwise. Yep. You'd be like, oh, cool, look at all this extra money. But no, that's the case, yeah.
But yeah,
I've done it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, what are my boundaries as a human? What makes me happy going forward? And ultimately, whether or not I'm just kind of like wrapping my mind around like, it's okay if people don't like me.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I think that door really got pushed open with the not drinking, because I've always drank. And again, it's not like I ran over a family of five with my car or got fired because I showed up to work drunk.
Yeah.
But it's always been like a why not thing. Like, why not have a drink? Like, I always just thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I never thought twice about it.
Yeah.
And so to think twice about it and then like learn who you are without it and what does make me happy. That's been my big thing. Like, I hike a lot. I go camping. Being outside makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Cooking makes me really happy. Talking to my dog. I started singing lessons and ukulele lessons. I've never in my life, I've been so scared to sing my whole life. So now I'm just starting to sing.
You got like a coach?
And sing in front of people and taking lessons.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Is there a class recital any of us can come to?
I've debated. I have a couple songs that I was like, should I put this on TikTok? Because I deleted my Instagram.
Oh.
That was another thing that kind of took me out of the circulation.
I keep it because I have to.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's what I always thought.
It is. It does feel that way for
it's
me.
It's hard. Yeah.
Most of it is promoting the podcast or right. my hair. And I'm like,
such good hair.
I feel, thank you. But I feel like I have to have it.
Yeah.
And it's, that's why I don't watch stories or any of that, because I'm like, I'm trying to stay off as much as I can.
It's a brain number, man.
Yeah, and it's really hard because people think you've seen it, so then they get upset with you when you don't know the information they're talking about. But I'm like, why would I know this information? You didn't tell me. But it's because they posted it to their stories, and I'm like, I can't be held accountable for this. Like, this is crazy.
It's a very weird way to live, and I hate it.
Yeah.
And I hate it. That's why I deleted it. I was like, I'm so sick of people not being actual friends, but thinking they're my friends because they liked a picture.
Yeah.
Or knowing what happened in my life because they saw it on my story. And I just, yeah.
A false sense
of
Or
like
of
with
closeness.
Dating, guys like look at your profile mm-hmm. and they think they know you. And it's like, you don't get to know that stuff. Like, you have to ask me questions.
Yeah.
You don't just get to look at my life. And it's just, yeah, so I had a freak out and I took it. I'd been thinking about it for a long time. But then
I got off Facebook.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, I managed to get off of Facebook. And I will say this, when my Instagram was recently taken over by a crypto bot, and I had been hacked for about a week, and they were posting about crypto intensely, but it was kind of nice to just not be on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of nice to just be like, okay, whatever. And it's like, I didn't necessarily miss it. I felt bad because I had recorded stuff in that time and then didn't have a way to get it out there. So I was like, oh, I felt... Like, this podcast does well, but it's not like I'm, like, the top podcast you're listening no matter what. You don't care who the guest is. I'm like, a lot of people would, like,
right.
you can see
you
different guests. Yeah, people would be like, oh, I'm interested to hear what this person has to say. And then that brings them to the podcast. So it would make me feel bad. I can't give everybody that equal promotion of, like, to be able to reach those new listeners. You
I
know
totally
what I mean?
Get it. Yeah. But, no, it's hard.
Yeah.
Every time
the dating
I go,
thing is that's hard though. That
it's
fucking
a very
sucks.
Weird layer
judgment of that.
Yeah, and I it was unhealthy for me because I don't want to see anybody I've dated. I don't want to see their stuff. Like like we don't. There's some people you're not supposed to know all this. Like we're not supposed to know this many people. First of all, our brains are engineered to meet I think 200 people for our lifetime. You're not meant to know what everybody
is. Get out of my
doing.
House. I'm capping it.
every second.
I'm not supposed to know you.
Exactly. Get the fuck out of here. You're over the limit. You're out.
Yeah,
you didn't
I'm
make the
out.
Cut.
I've had enough people comment on the high ceilings. 200 came in right before you. You are 201, my friend.
But seriously, like, we're not, like, it hasn't been studied what it's doing to our brains, but I know personally for me, it was very unhealthy. So I
Well, in the comedy world, you could do a show and meet 50 people in one night.
Yeah.
Like, this is your audience. People come say hi after. You meet the other comics on the show. It's just like, and people will get upset you don't remember them. And you're like,
oh my God.
How can I possibly remember you? It is of no offense to you. My mind is much because people are like, well, if it mattered to you, you'd remember their name. And I'm like, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
My mind is mush. I put so much into that show that I'm mush now. And I cannot take in any new information.
Yeah, beyond the adrenaline of just performing. And then you have that high. Even if it's a bad high after, it's like you basically black out.
Yeah, you do.
So conversations, all. I mean, it's...
And no wonder why we all drink so much.
Seriously.
You don't even know you're doing it half the time.
In my 20s, between working like 5 jobs at once and doing stand-up every night until like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything that happened. I mean, I lived in New York for 3 years. I have no idea. I kind of have a general idea.
Yeah.
I know some people that were around, but like, yeah, it's our brains aren't built to handle all that stuff.
No, so, they're really not. And and in comedy too, we tend to get really personable really fast because we have to disarm an audience very quickly.
Yes.
By and they want to hear true stories about you. It's what they find interesting. So it's even more information you're taking in than regular small talk. Like, it's even like someone could be telling you about like a trauma they had when normally maybe you'd meet a lawyer and they'd be talking about the weather. You know what I mean? And you're like, this is a lot.
Yeah, take that part, but then add on the fact that we still want to be funny and charming.
Yes.
So you're doing like 50 times the work. It's so, it's so overwhelming.
It does become work, doesn't it?
It is work.
Yeah, it really
is. And that's what I'm really trying to be. Honest and true and like draw boundaries with people and jobs and you know.
So this job last summer where it's all madness, were you able to speak up or were you able to find self-care in there or were you like moving forward, I'm changing this, like what
happened? They knew if it came back for another season I'd have a different I'd have some requests, you know, and they let me get some help. So you know, I said I've never asked for help in my life, but I can't do this quickly because our shoot schedule was condensed and the whole thing was insane.
Yeah.
But
that is self-care, asking for what you need.
I wasn't scared.
Sometimes it's somebody else.
I would have been so scared before and I wasn't scared. So it was nice and it is what it is. Like I you know, they say what is it like worrying about the future is anxiety, worrying about the past is what, depression, regret, all that kind of stuff. You have to like stay in the moment and it's so corny.
Yeah.
But that's why I like going camping and stuff. And so every time, you know, when I first started going to places and my phone would be out of service, I'd freak out. I would totally freak out.
Do you go alone?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just did a 2-week hike this summer. Backpacking, and it was the best thing I've ever done. It was
this
so
is all
great.
Norm wants to do.
Oh, great. Let's go.
You two should go. That sounds actually like a great idea that really gets me off the hook. Yeah. I actually think this is the best idea I've ever come up with. So he can go. He can go with a pal. He can have a great time. Somebody there to talk to. I stay at home and see what's up with the ceiling.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, no, it's a really great practice in being present because you don't have all these distractions.
Yeah. So and you got to pay attention. Like, hiking's no joke.
Well, that's the thing, too. Yeah. Is you do. There's some people that hike with headphones and stuff, and it's not for me. But also,
I do on, like, the big trails, like Griffith, where it's, like, the... You know, the ones that the cars can go on, they're like emergency trails or whatever.
Yeah,
because I could stay all the way to the side
of the
rocks.
That's totally different.
But
though.
In a real thing, I could never. Too
you got to be careful because of, like, you know, I guess there's bears, there's animals, there's deer, you know, there's stuff out there. You got to be careful.
Yes.
So it's good to be
aware.
And I did this 2 weeks, and the minute I started getting reception, my whole energy, like, I felt my whole energy drain, and I was so bummed. I was like, oh no, it begins. Now, there's like 50 dumb emails that are all like, hey, it's a sale on our pots and pans. You know,
I can't stand it. The emails that I get from Warby Parker, the glasses, I just touch them because they're Warby Parker. But, and I love the glasses, but
I don't want
to
offend the glasses.
They send 2 to 3 emails a day. I'm going,
yeah, no.
What are we talking about glasses for? Like, why are we talking so much about reading glasses?
Girl, you gotta unsubscribe.
I have unsubscribed. I unsubscribed to all these things. And you're like still on it because I know how that works. I worked at a company and like worked on returns and unsubscribing and this and that. And sometimes you get so many emails. It's like they have to email you again being like, hey, I asked to be off this thing. Because it's not always automated. It's like sometimes somebody's doing it.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I was the somebody doing it.
Oh, God.
You better believe I'm breezing over a few names.
Okay.
Okay. In full support of my terrible customer service. Let's just say that job did not last. Well, I think that's great that you found something that you really respond to that can expend that energy that you would spend drinking or spend at the shows. Because that's another thing is like, if you put all this time and energy into this one thing of your life and then somebody takes it away because you said you'd never really been with yourself, but like you can't just sit in a room with yourself. You need to do something. You need to move.
Yeah.
Or you'll lose your mind, surely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's, I'm coming now into like, okay, I am a creative person. I always have been. I can still be creative without the, you know, incessant need for validation. So,
oh my God, yeah.
That's what my next thing is like, you know, I'll keep working these jobs and go back on like creating stuff for me, just for me. And if other people like it, that'd be great. But,
you know, when Norm first moved here and in Toronto, he was predominantly an on-screen actor, right? Commercial shows, whatever. And then he kind of fell into the job that he's at right now where he's actually writer, producer, director. Completely on the exact opposite of what he was doing. He like fell into it, had to learn a lot very quickly, did not have the luxury of help. So really like figure it out. And now he does great at it. He's still creating, but he also does his own side things to be like, I need to get my personality out in this way. So just what you were saying where you're like, I need to do something for me. You're like, I'm still who I am as a person. And because you were so used to live shows, you were able to just spit out all your creativity and for other people to see. And, you know, we didn't always get the validation, but when we did, oh, it felt good.
So good. Yeah. So
addictive. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like, I think that's so great to be able to like find a marriage of the two, because if you just throw yourself into your job, which is what we did with comedy, then it's like, if you don't have the validation from whatever that job is, you're devastated. You're left with nothing, even if you're on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep messing up and then you're not feeling good at your job, you're going to, it's not going to serve you in any way.
Yeah. With that kind of a career too, you have to do it for the love of it, which I always thought I was doing.
Uh-huh.
But I think I turned a point where I started making money from it. And then I wanted, then you're like mad that other people get stuff. But if you're just making and you're living in your own reality, in your own world.
Yeah.
As I was saying, like, you don't have to be totally delusional in a bad way, but you do have to be delusional because you have to ignore everything else and keep doing it just for the love of it.
Yeah.
So it's not always a bad thing to be, but you do have to be delusional, in my opinion, to make it, because you have to keep going.
Because you have to, when you have zero implication or anyone giving you money or anything like that, when and you still say I've got what it takes, it's like you have to be a little off. I have that. I know I have that. I'm like, if I can just this, or if I can finish this, or maybe if I focus on this, and those questions I don't like, or trying to figure that out, I don't really like. But when I get to do an opportunity because one of those things worked, I'm like elated, and then it's enough to last me until the next one.
Yeah.
But that in between, when you're like, maybe if I do it this way, I'll be perfect and someone will see, is like, if you're doing it for somebody else to see, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think
it's never going
to
happen.
So many times too, I've frozen because I'm too scared to do it and fail.
Okay, so rather than like, give me an example.
Well, rather than like, I don't know, let's say I'm like, oh, I have this really great idea for a script.
Okay.
And then instead of writing the script, I read 3 books on how to write a script because I'm like, well, I didn't go to school for it and I don't really know what I'm doing. And like, yeah. And then I just like procrastinate myself into oblivion and then never write the script. Okay.
I am in this right now. Okay, I started writing a book. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. I dropped out of school.
I've written a book.
Wait, you wrote a book?
Yeah.
Okay, because I just finished listening to an audiobook about how to write a book, and I just borrowed another one from the library, and I realized I haven't written in 3 weeks. I have not worked on it, and I was like, wait a minute. This counteracts the whole point of the book.
Yeah.
But I keep telling myself that I don't know how to write a book. Tell me about, not to get off subject, but tell me about the book.
Well, make a chapter. You can make a whole chapter about that.
About coming away from the book?
Yeah, about how you were procrastinating by reading
books. Oh my God, I'll just write a list of all the things I did instead of writing the book.
Because you know it's going to be funny.
It is going to be funny because I've really come up with a lot of creative things to do in the day.
And everybody can relate to that.
Yeah, like I rake the turf all the time.
There you go.
And I love talking about it. Rake the turf? I rake my turf.
I read a book called DIY Damn It because I had made a video, a web series called DIY Damn It. And I was very fortunate that someone that worked at a publishing company saw the web series and they reached out to me and they said, would you want to write a book? And I was like, whoa, yeah, I didn't even think about that. And I went to my manager and I was like, why didn't you think of this? But they helped me craft a pitch and then we sold the pitch to her company and then I got a book deal.
How many pages is the book?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually don't know.
Is there any artwork?
There are photos because it's a DIY book. So it's like crafting.
Oh, so yeah, you like show the product.
Like yeah, it's like a comedy crafting. So it's like anti-Martha Stewart. So it's like, it's okay to fuck up. We all fuck up and like.
So it's life lessons.
Yeah.
This is what my book is. Minus the lessons.
Well,
it's
I can help you.
As of now, it's just a couple of wild stories in there. And me going, how am I going to tie all these together? Because I want to do a how to have self-esteem.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm obsessed with the topic.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've been talking about it for a million years. I can't get enough. And I think it's important, too, to have a bit of a laugh about your self-esteem. Because you can't take yourself too seriously. Like, for example, we're chatting now. We're talking about all of this was from the original question about dark times and stuff like that. And it's like, we're still here having a blast, even though you've been like, yeah, actually, it's been a rough couple of years. But it's like, we're still here having fun. You have to be able to like kind of laugh at the dark. Maybe in retrospect, I understand that. Not necessarily in the moment. But it's like, you got to lighten up about a couple of things or else you do what you were talking about of staying in the past keeps you like depressed or like whatever. And you'll never get out of it.
Nope.
If you can't laugh off a dark time.
You gotta lighten up. This we only got one life.
Now, here's a question I have about the dark times, because I've had a few myself.
Sure.
Are you ever able to do the self-care within it, or are you someone that, like, you have to experience it, and then you'll be able to implement some self-care and then start the journey of that?
I'm not, you know, everybody has different parameters of, I am very much a busybody, so like in one day, you know, I will do 50 errands. A dark day for me is like having one day where I don't do anything and watch TV is usually like I can do it for one day.
Wow.
And then I have to move, I have to do stuff.
So that's your coping, is to be up and like up and running.
Yeah
doing okay
laundry, cooking, you
listen
know.
There's worse.
Yeah definitely.
I like that. If you need the day, you take the day.
Yeah,
but I also like the moving not moving on, moving forward maybe is like a way to describe it, because it's not necessarily like a problem clears up in a day all the time. That problem might still exist, but like the fact that you can keep moving forward is exceptional. Like, because I think back in my 20s, I would do the sit in it and not move.
Uh-huh.
And that would last one day, one week, one month. Like it kept kind of expanding. And now I find that I'm like, I can take a day maybe where I don't work out, or like I cancel a plan or something like that. And then the next day I'll feel so bad for that day that I just have to like get something done. Maybe not as many as you, but something done.
I also think that just like having a dog, like having something that makes you get up and walk and move.
That's
just physical movement.
The dog has saved me. Yeah. The dog has saved me in terms of like getting out of bed no matter what. Like,
yeah.
And now I will early rise, like, you know, sometimes you'll wake up, but you'll just stay laying in bed with like panic or anxiety. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Even in the good days you have those.
Yeah.
The dog is great because it's an alarm clock.
Yeah.
And you can't stay in bed with anxiety.
Yeah.
You have to, and then you have to be like, did the dog poo? No, that's it. Now you're focused on something else.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, we're always hunting. My dog and I are always hunting for squirrels. He's
We're big on the lizards in this house. And the little ones too. And I'm like, can we leave them alone, please?
One got in my house a couple weeks ago and I don't know how.
Oh my God.
But it was just running around on my couch like a little lizard. I was like, Nugget, get this animal. This is your job. Its tail fell off. I trapped it under a glass and it like, I think it like released its tail because I didn't hit the tail. But the tail like fell off, so there's like a piece of tail, and then I just released it outside. But yeah.
Norm found a lizard. Thank God I wasn't home. Norm found a lizard on the drapes.
Oh my God.
Just stuck to it. And I was like, I would have put this house up immediately if I had found this thing. Bags packed, just mine. Norm, you're on your own. You can enjoy this filth bucket. Uh-huh. And I'm out of the house.
Set fire immediately.
Immediately. And if I found a tail...
The tail thing was very gross.
I'm horrified.
It was gross.
I didn't even know that happened. Like, I'm actually horrified right now.
I, like, left it on the carpet, and then I just vacuumed it up because
you
I
have to. You can't pick that up?
No, I didn't want to touch it.
And get germs?
No, no.
Tail
no
germs? Lizard disease. Get that lizard disease.
Get that, like, in Game of Thrones where your skin starts scaling.
Oh, my God. It is a lizard disease. Yeah. But then it kind of looked like rock. It's like it was turning into rock. Yeah. Wasn't that, like,
but then you could be the rock guy from Neverending Story, which...
Rock Who biter. Doesn't want to? I mean, name anyone.
That guy was so sweet. He was just worried about the nothing.
Bless that mess. I'm a
big Neverending Story fan.
Who's your favorite character?
I mean, you got to go with the Treyu.
Okay.
You know?
That's one. I liked the princess. Mm-hmm. Very few scenes, for starters.
Bastion!
Yeah, her voice. She looked angelic. She was everything. She had long hair. She was everything I wanted in life.
Say my name!
She was bossy. Yeah. Controlling.
Kind of a bitch.
She was a huge bitch. She was in charge. A
nag.
She was a total nag and got away with it. That's why I love her. And looked good doing
she
it.
She did. She sure
That's
did.
That's why I love her.
Yep.
Yeah, she was good. That is such a good movie. I guess I haven't thought about it in a while.
Hashtag princess goals?
Yes.
Floating in a floating castle?
Yes. Actually, these are kind of human goals as well. Yeah. These are just Alana and Jocelyn goals at this point. Have you skydived before? You said you like being outside. Would you ever? No. Speaking of floating in a cloud, would you ever? I would never.
I have a fear of heights, and like hiking enough is taking care of that. Like I did this hike, and it included, I think, 8 peaks. This summer?
Did you know that? Did you do it on purpose to try to overcome the fear?
No, I didn't do it on purpose to overcome the fear. I kind of didn't pay attention to that part of that. Like, I knew that because I got a different permit, so I did hike the biggest one first. So after hiking that first one, it was like, oh, the rest of them are smaller from here, so at least there's that.
Okay.
But I don't ever need to do those again. I don't ever need to climb 14,000 feet ever again in my life.
This is how I feel. Like, Norm likes to go on precarious heights. Uh-huh. Like I said, I like the big roads to go on, you know, maybe an hour and a half tops. I'm satisfied.
I got a good one for you in LA.
Oh, please, please, I beg of you. But, like, I can't, being up so high and knowing I'm that high is like, it just, I think I'm going to fall and die. I know someone that fell off a cliff and died.
No, thank you.
Here in California. Yeah, yeah, she's Canadian. And I'm like, I can't stop thinking about that.
Yeah, I think that's
like all I think. So I'm not enjoying myself.
Yeah. I jumped off a couple rocks into water.
I've done that a few times. I always am glad I did it.
I'm always glad it's scary. But I do scream a scream that it's inaudible to the human ear because it's so high.
Like one of those dog whistles.
It's either that or I scream like a man. It's so deep where I'm like, oh.
Wait, like choking.
But yeah, I've done that, and I've done a couple hikes that are a little precarious, but I don't, in general, I'm not willingly like, you know what I want to do to get my rocks off?
Yes.
Jump out of the plane. No. I'm not against it. Like, blessed be for everybody
else. Jump guys, in. Go nuts. We'll pay for it.
Jump and go.
Jocelyn and I will front the money.
And we can talk about that later.
We can talk about that later, actually.
Can I have a word with you for a second over here?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let me just turn the mics up.
Thank you.
Let me just get the mics really loud and turn them in the direction we're talking.
I'm not paying. I'm not doing it.
Well, Jocelyn, you already said you would.
But I support emotionally.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, now here's the real question. You had kind of touched on this already when you talked about being treated differently. When you stopped drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like when people found out or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you find you made new friends or connected with old friends that were in the same place as you because you kind of shifted activities that you were doing and the way you were spending your time?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. It was a journey because at first you're projecting on everyone because you're worried that nobody wants to hang out with you. So first it was my own projection, like, I'm not getting invited to this or I'm not getting invited to this.
And social media doesn't help that.
Social media doesn't help. You see people like, oh, they're all at the bar together. Well, yes. It kind of makes sense why they didn't want me to go or whatever. Yeah. There's also this thing where when you tell people you don't drink anymore, they immediately go, well, yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm cutting back. I actually don't drink as much as I used to. And you're like, I don't care. It's okay. You can drink. It's not anything to do with you.
I appreciate you saying that because I have witnessed, I'm sure I've done it myself. Yeah, I've definitely witnessed it. Yeah. And you're right, because then that's me assuming you're judging me, and that's not fair to you for me to make that assumption.
It's so normal, and yeah, it happens with literally every single person that drinks. We'll say
see, I like would have told you I'm drinking way too much because of the pandemic, and I had to stop because we're back out in the world, and I think I don't have the excuse anymore of the pandemic. Right. For like 2 years, we had the excuse. It was dark times, you know, honestly, and even my doctor was like, I wouldn't worry about it, and now you're like, you know, maybe they're like, okay, let's take a dial beat. Let's dial it back a second. But yeah, so people will kind of say that, and it makes it a little weird.
Yeah, but I think it's, so it initially started as like a projection, and then it was like, and it also was with the pandemic. So I had like a year of not drinking before the pandemic started. Oh, so I kind of had this year of already kind of being to myself and kind of having to be alone and kind of like figure out what my time is spent doing. And it was really good. It was really good for me.
And then
when the pandemic hit, it was like, oh, I can do this. I've been doing this.
I was just about to ask, did you feel like a little more prepared?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So then there's that. So I think with the pandemic, everybody's been like, well, you kind of see who your real friends are, I guess. And yes, that's, I think I that's not a combination of me too. A combination of getting older, a combination of LA, a combination of the world is falling apart and it's on fire.
Yeah. And what's everybody's mood about that? Yeah. Are you staying positive, but maybe like delusional positive where you're like,
right,
this is going to clear up next week?
Or are you like my uncle in Florida who just goes like, the world's gotten hot before, it can get hot again and we'll be fine. Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's one way to look at it. Thanks, and scientist. We'd love to get him on the podcast to hear more about it. Actually, we could call him right now. That'd be great. But you know, or did some people like really not deal with it well? And you're like, I can't take in this energy right now. And I didn't realize how negative you were.
Right.
Because you know what I struggled with was people complaining about non-pandemic things. And then in my head, I was like, we're in a pandemic right now, and this is what you're talking about? Like, that kind of did it in for me for a couple of friendships.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. Yeah. And it's social media, again, not to go back to Instagram, but it's like you see, you have friends posting stuff, and you're like, hey, a black man just got murdered. Yeah. We're all going to protest. Great outfit. Glad you posted that on Instagram. But are you seriously, like, I think every time somebody posts a picture to Instagram when something, like, let's say there's a mass shooting or whatever, it's like, what you are doing is pretending like what it, first of all, you're showing that it doesn't affect you at all.
Yes.
You're saying that. But also that you, essentially you don't care. And it's like, I'm not being dramatic by saying that. You are showing by posting a picture of your outfit or your brunch or your dog or whatever it is, you are helping people forget that these atrocities are happening, and that and I waver. I think part of my dark road the last couple of years has been the state of the world and trying to be realistic but positive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, come on, guys. Like, we gotta,
you know, sometimes I think the way to look at it is this time sensitive? So for example, some things are time sensitive. If it's like something's about to start tomorrow and you have to let people know, or if it's like, well, during when everybody was really protesting, to post about protests and where they're going to be and information and stuff like that. But I definitely agree with you. Like, especially I find the timing, and God, if I've done it, I'll be so embarrassed, but knowing me, and I don't think all the time. No, but
that's the other thing is, like, as entertainers, you still need to entertain, and that's your job.
You need to entertain, and it's your job. But I've definitely had, like, especially with, like, school shootings and stuff like that, where you're like, it's not right. Like, I can't post this because all I'm thinking about is this other thing, and I don't want to give off the vibe that I'm out here having a great time. Even if I am, because sometimes you can't help it. You're going to laugh at something somebody said, even though something terrible in the world is happening.
Yeah.
Whatever. It just comes out of you. There's nothing you can do about it. But it's like, I don't need that to be the face I'm putting on today. Just post it tomorrow. If it must be posted, post it tomorrow.
Yeah. I just think, like, we are not equipped with the PR know-how for social media to know what is or isn't appropriate. I don't think PR people know. I think we are just in such a tumultuous state that it's just very hectic. And so I decided personally I'm going to opt out because I don't feel that like this is something.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good to me and it doesn't feel to post, but also to look at posts, like all of it to me was bad. That being said, my dog still has an Instagram and I post so like
the, we're getting the some dog. Action here.
And so there's still like, I'm not like scot-free. I'm definitely still guilty a little bit, but yeah, that might go but soon too. Cause way, I, yeah. I'm like, what am I doing?
You know what I really struggle with social media is Twitter because it is a great place to get news.
Yeah.
Because watching the local news here, like, Norman, I said it to you when you came in two back-to-back news shows, they led with it's hot and how that's going to affect your pet because it will be hot for your pet. And then there was, like, two or three stories later, there's, like, this shooting and the alt, like, two or three people died. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
That lead with this. Right. What are you talking? Like, this we know matters. It's hot. Yeah, listen, skin. I feel bad for the dogs, but I was like, you let it off like this story was an emergency. I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Well, yeah, and there's like, you know, they're all owned by different companies, and so they have messaging.
Well, it's daytime. They wanted it to be feel good because we were watching it at like 11.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, the people don't want to see this, but I also, it's my fault. I shouldn't have the news on at 11. That's bad. Because that's not the way I should be starting my day when it's going to be this infuriating that I'm not actually getting the news.
And there's, yeah, and that's, and that goes back to like why I like to go into the nature. First of all, nature is healing. It straight up is so good for you.
Here, look at this. Look out this window.
Oh,
and you'll see my neighbor's house and just past it, the LA River.
Beautiful LA.
I'm gonna close this. I'm gonna close these blinds right now. Folks, didn't need to open them up.
Folks, if you ever are lucky enough to come to Los Angeles, please come visit the LA River. You will see all kinds of trash bags.
Come check it out. Birds. Come check it out. We'd love to get you in here. And check out the side of my neighbor's house. It's a good view, you gotta admit.
Yeah. That's nature. But yeah, but that also is it ties to whatever we were talking about. It's just like disconnecting. Oh, not watching the news. Everybody, we're so now conditioned that like we think we're going to miss something if we don't have our phone on.
Yes.
Like if you turn your phone off, just try turning it off for an hour. Putting it on airplane mode, you'll probably start to itch. Be like, wait, what am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing? It's so unhealthy.
Yeah.
But I was gone for 2 weeks, and I had a satellite phone, so I could send messages if I was getting attacked by a bear, and I could tell my mom I was okay, but no cell reception, not daily news, nothing.
Yeah.
If I was worried about a storm, it tells you the weather, but very basic. I came out 2 weeks later, I didn't miss anything.
No.
No, nothing.
Could have told you that.
There was not one text message that was breaking news. There was not one revelation. There's nothing. It was
is nothing to talk about. There are no updates.
We are so self-important and we're making ourselves crazy. Like we're actually going insane. So yeah, anyway, that go out into nature is my point.
Georgia called me today. You know Georgia, obviously. Called me today with a sense of urgency because I didn't pick up originally. And then sent a text saying to call. So I was like, okay, what's up, right?
Yeah.
When somebody falls up right away, okay? And I was like, what's going on? And the importance of which she spoke about this LED mask being on sale if it's a 2-for-1 and that we should buy them together. And I was like, it was 11:30. You were coming. I'm, you know, scrambling to get ready. And I was like, listen, this is great and everything. But I was like, this is madness. Like, this was the pressing matter on a Sunday morning that we had to discuss. Yeah. I was like, thanks for the offer. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Georgia, if you're listening, so sorry that love the mask didn't work out. We love you. Thank you so much for trying to make my face better. No, thanks. I'll stick with this hatchet I'm walking around with. Thank you so much. No, I think you're right that we really don't miss anything. And
really don't.
Let people know, like, I understand work correspondence. Yes, of course you have to be part. That's where your income is. But that's why you let them know, oh, I have the vacation time or like I will be unavailable like this time or and then, you know, you have the bounce back email or whatever the case is. Then you're fine because otherwise with friends and stuff like that, even like if there's a family emergency, it's like, or somebody died, you're like, well, they're still going to be dead when I get back. Like, it's yeah. You're just like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Emergencies happen all the time.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to tell you. I can't be sitting by my phone waiting. I like to leave my phone on silent and then go charge it in another room.
Yeah.
I like to leave phones in other rooms so that I picked my phone up for no reason, but I like to charge
you're
it.
Showing me what it is.
I'm showing you what a phone
good.
Is.
It's good.
But I like to leave it. I like to leave it somewhere else.
Yeah. It's the little stuff like that that really helps because we don't realize how, like, also there's a trick if you turn your display to black and white, it really helps.
Yeah.
Because it's actually not as engaging to your eye. So you lose interest way faster.
I think I have a real problem with seeing my screen already. Like, my letters are all really big. Mm-hmm. I think I have such a big problem with seeing screens already. That is helping me lose interest because I go, my eyes hurt.
Yeah, no, my eyes
and
been
I guess that
I've been looking at my phone way too much.
Yeah, it seriously ruined my eyes. This is why I have to have like reading glasses. Like even now, when I'm looking at the recorder to like check the time, I can't see anything, and I'm like, these numbers are regular size numbers, so that's why I have to keep while you're talking doing a huge lean in like this. I'm just trying to make sure we're on track here.
That's thank God.
But it's very distracting, and this is because of my phone, 100%. So now it's in the way of my work.
Well, it's blue light. It also like leads to depression. There's all this kind of. I mean, I can go like. I really, in my heart of hearts, am a hippie. I belong in Topanga Canyon. I should be so selling beautiful. Herbs. Like, okay. If I could figure out how to make enough money to afford Topanga Canyon.
I should be selling herbs.
That's what I should really be doing.
Not even specific ones, just herbs.
Just like a kind of funny herbalist. That's really what I
you
should
know, if I could get,
pursued.
If I could get myself some rosemary, some thyme, some mint, you know, I think I'd be a happier woman.
We all need more thyme, am I right?
Hey,
that was
she's not wrong,
pun.
Guys.
An herbalist pun.
Can I ask you, do you live on your own or do you live with somebody?
On my own.
Okay. Did you feel like you were grateful to be able to have your own space during the pandemic
to
really like stretch out? I will say, and Norm and I did a great job.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit. I was definitely losing my mind for a lot of it. Norm did great. I was really glad to have him here. But I definitely had moments where I was like, the world is ending and maybe I just need to be on my own with my thoughts because maybe I don't need anybody witnessing this right now. Like there was definitely times where I was like, no, I'd be better off by myself right now. The pressure of trying to keep it together with somebody else or like trying to keep up self-care and then not be affected by somebody else's mood because that is hard for my self-care. If somebody else is in a mood.
There's also like just naturally as women, we have like tendencies to want to take care of people.
Oh, and take on other people's bullshit.
And take on their shit.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say Norm and I've had many talks because he works a very high stress job and we've definitely come up with some ways for him to be able to process that stress without me getting caught in the crossfires.
That's great.
Of it. Well, this is why he has his own space that is his style and he feels comfortable in it so that I'm like, he'll want to just stay there.
Yeah. No, it's perfect.
Basically, if you're in a bad mood, get out of the main space, okay? Go somewhere else. Go in the bedroom. Go do something. I don't want anything to do with it. If you're in a studio, pick one side of a room. Go over there. I don't need it.
Yeah, go for a walk outside unless it's 100. Don't do that.
Guys, we're dying up in here. It is so hot. Right now, I feel comfortable in the house, but it is so hot outside. And you know what? Fuck it. The news is right. Be careful of your pets, guys. Their paws are going to get too hot out there. I hate to repeat the news that I hated to watch this morning, but they make a good point.
I know.
Put your hand on the pavement if it's too hot after 5 seconds. And then they said, imagine what it's like for your pet.
Seriously.
And on that note, Jocelyn, you started this podcast. Actually, did we say a number or was it just that you're feeling... I think we said an overall self-esteem wise.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I gave you a
number. Feeling, we got an overall self-esteem wise. We're at the best we've been now in terms of, because talking about everything we talked about so much and so much to catch up on. Really?
Really?
Are you still feeling good or are you like, oh, it was kind of hard to revisit or are you like just neutral?
I feel great. I'm a big talk it out
person. I'm feeling great. And you've actually got me quite inspired to kind of get up and going, well, you said so many good self-care things, which I really appreciated. I don't think I get outside enough. Yeah. I think you're like, I'll walk the path, but I think you're right. Maybe I need to go more into the mountains because I think it's a little more epic and makes you think a little bit
more.
We're
very close to some good stuff.
And there's kind of no excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. Exactly. That's how I feel. So you've really inspired me. I'm like kind of really excited where I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go on a hike tomorrow morning early.
Early,
obviously,
yep,
but I was like, I'm going to go on a hike tomorrow. Yeah, actually a great way to start the day. So I'm feeling good.
Good.
Yeah, we did it. Happy. Tell us again the name of your book, because it's really crazy that somebody wrote a book and offered to help me. Thank you so much. I'd love to take you up on that. But tell us about your book and anything else, or wherever, your Twitter, because you still are
on Twitter. I am still. I'm Jocelyn Hughes everywhere. That's a Jose Lynn. Hughes like John, not related. Otherwise, I'd be living in a mansion. book is DIY Damn It, Curse Free, Guide to Crafting. A lot of older women in the South wrote complaint letters because I cuss a lot in the book.
Yeah, I mean, just don't read the book. Then.
It is called DIY Damn It. So just a warning to anybody. You can probably buy the book on sale. It's heavily discounted. And yeah, rather than like follow me, I want you to, you know, maybe follow yourself. Follow, like, get out there. Turn your phone off. Do that for Joss.
You know what?
Turn off your phone. Go for a walk.
I'm not giving my social handles. I'm not giving it for the podcast. I'm not even going to advertise the Patreon, because technically when I advertised it earlier, I didn't say the name of it. So I'm not going to give the name of this Patreon. I refuse. Because you know what? If you're drawn to me, you'll find me.
That's what I'm telling you.
All right, Jocelyn, it's been a hit.
Thanks for having me.
And feel free to grab a Gatorade.
Thank you.
All right. Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the self-esteem part.